In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From Romans chapter 11, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And from the Small Catechism, the Apostle Creed, the way the head of the household shall teach it in a simple manner to his house. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized into the name of Jesus, to be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is to be baptized into the life of the triune God. The apostolic, this creed of our baptism, the creed of confession that perhaps is the oldest and at the center of catechetical transmission, is what we consider this morning in the midst of an environment in which the passion for making myths about origin beats as fervently as the imagination of man's heart beats to create evil. The passion to create myths, to make the images of origin, is the passion to be a god. A passion based on a genetic fallacy. You can control the destiny if you understand the origin. And so we apply that to the universe. We'll be able to manipulate it and make the future we want. If what we can know the secret of its origin, in therapy this works, the whole style of therapy. Understand the roots of the psychosis, and you can control the way you will manage the cure. Now, I'm not railing against speculation this morning, against knowledge, against science. God's command to love him is to love him also with all our mind. And that command of God is a driving energy that will not let mankind rest, but stimulates his curiosity and pushes him to know. And in the Psalm, the Eucharist, Psalm 111, there is a description of the believing, worshiping congregation of the righteous gathered in the celebration. And it says there how they delight to study the works of God. And the works of God that they have pleasure in are those very works in that psalm that deal not only with redemption, but also with the created world, with life in society, and with the authority and the activity that man is engaged in. The mode of knowing those works of God is speculation. That is, you look at them. You observe. You test. You make theories about it. You make conclusions. And then you start the process over again to revise what you know. Science, the enemy, knowledge, is this work, the work of observing, proving, test, and revise. And we ourselves, who are commanded by God to love God with our mind, are also to teach our children and to teach each other to use that mind for God. For shame that we allow television to drug their heads, and poor language, poor story, and poor text to dull their senses. Now, I'm not railing against that part of knowledge, but it is the myth-making, the building of the story around the data. That is another matter. And I call to your attention, first of all, then, that myth-makers take either material things, such, for example, as the Marxists or the communists. Their hostility is directed against material things. Or there are some myth-makers who hate the material things and spiritualize materiality by teaching us that it's somewhat obscene for God to have so much to do with things. If you want the high God, the high life, the great spirit, then you must drop body and flesh and material. That's one kind of myth-maker. Or else there's the other kind of myth-maker. They practice their despair on us by seducing us into worshiping materiality. The former material hates material because it is so hard and it breaks all the ideology. It simply will not be managed by a thought of the head. The latter perverts materiality by making it into a god. Thus, in our time, your sexuality, that is the god that will give you happiness. The one materialist hates God's creation, and thus he hates God. The other one hates God, and therefore hates God's creation. Now it is my judgment that we who are evangelical Catholic Christians, we who are instructed by the Catechism, have been euchred into a kind of Protestant thinking when it comes to the matter of God making and God using material things. God enjoys making stuff. Look at all of it that he made. We have been taught that that making, or the using of it in the ways that God wanted used, maybe militates against spirituality. It might be slightly obscene if you deal with such concrete reality as God has made in his world. And so the Catechism is to be taught by us to each other and to our children about how his God himself makes and uses things like body. We are not to buy that Protestant or that anti-creation point of view about God and the spiritual life that makes us offended at the way he uses human body, marvelously, almost humorously, in the union of love between man and woman, using the very same organs that they use to eliminate waste matter. He generates new life. Only God could think of something like that. But even more offensive, it seems to some, is that when he wanted to come in the full majesty of his divine mercy to save us, what did he do? He huddled into the womb of a virgin, and he took a full body out of that blessed woman to give the whole world the joy of salvation. For it was in his body, the body of God, named Jesus for us, that God on the tree carried our sins to death, and from that dead body rose that we might live with God. And thus he made eternal joy, eternal redemption for us. We do not therefore want to join those who find it offensive that this God would be the one who would take simple H2O, bind his word to it, and give us the energy and life and fullness of that creating spirit for salvation. Nor do we find it something that we must niggle at, that he nurtures our dying bodies for immortality. Not, mind you, an immortality disembodied so that we are spooked floating around on celestial clouds, but for an immortality in the resurrection of the body. And for that, he nourishes us with bread, his body, and with wine, his blood. And he does not niggle at giving holy absolution out of the mouth of another sinner, whose tongue and teeth will someday fall out and he too will die. And most offensive of all to some of these super spiritualists, the great works of holiness that God wants done in the baptized people's lives are done in our body. There you faithfully suffer, without complaining, but in hope and in joy. And it is in our bodies that we join together our sweat, our work, our vocation, our sexuality, and in those places of relationship that we do the holy, good work that God once done for the neighbor. So when we faithfully work in those bodies, those works of love are given to each other. We feed the hungry, and it doesn't matter if it's your own child, still a hungry. You don't have to go to Africa first to find a hungry one. We give them a drink. We take care of them in their sickness. We forgive them in their sin. We comfort them in their shame. We rebuke them in their error. And we give them courage to pray. In our body, we work. Now, I have spent this time railing against what I judge to be a prevalent, a very pervasive, and a very perverse point of view in which we live. And it seems to me, both from my own instruction as a child by a pious and devout pastor, and in the life that I have observed in the last 30 years of ministry, that Lutherans have first of all collapsed the first article into the second, I think we can be instructed and corrected from the catechism. This, then, is how the head of the family, in a simple way, must teach his household. Day by day, we are to be nursed and disciplined in the faith into which we have been baptized. You and I, and our children, we are no accident. We must not turn Genesis into a myth story. Once upon a time, 6 days ago, God made, and then everybody dreams about how it might have been once upon a time. The catechism says, I believe that God has made me and all the created world. We are no accident. And then damn the notion that keeps popping a pill into his mouth and says, no baby. No baby. 21 days out of the week, out of the month, no baby. And if a child comes and suddenly, it's an accident. Something went wrong. But rather, we are not to see ourselves as a birth of a cosmic process, a kind of gag pace as things move along. Each concrete person in his specific full being, in his specific concrete body, is a clear manifestation before our eyes that God said one night or one day, I want you to be. He made a choice. You can see what choice he made. And these days, then, of hatred of the body, of envy of the privileges of others, or of things that we might please ourselves with if we were not limited by our body, in the hostility that is growing toward children, reinforced by this endless subliminal advertising to the body, no baby, no baby, no baby, it seems to me we must, with our children and with each other, explore day by day the meaning of this first article, I believe that God made me. And the created world, and they gave me eyes and ears, reason and sense, body and soul, that he nurtures me day by day, purely out of his generosity. And it is into that created world that the Son of God came. And the Son of God came taking a body to suffer in our world, to be the victim with us victims, to die on the cross, to die our death for us, that he might buy us back in his body to be forever with God. And it is in his body he rose from the dead. He did all of this to lord it over us by that suffering, by that saving forgiveness, so that we could live under him and be dominated by that Lord and serve him forever. Can eternity be long enough for us to teach each other, to learn the meaning of this work of Christ, to catechize daily, day in and day out with our family. To learn to live this life does not merely mean, now I can say the whole second article explanation when my daddy asks me, what does this mean? It is not merely to repeat this or that, or to say it in other words, but the meaning of it is, the meaning of this service of Christ to us, is that we have a life that is conformed to him. The meaning of the life, therefore, is not to be confused with the feeling that for the life. Its meaning is determined by our attachment to that crucified and risen Christ. What glues the life to that Christ is faith. And so the third article also, in my opinion, has been collapsed into the second article. We hardly know what to do with that third article. It's kind of an appendix to number two. Luther will teach us better. For that third article, which describes the creating God who made the world and the saving God who saved the world, describes the hallowing God who sanctifies it. He is putting humanity back together in reality by reprocessing us. We are not merely, however, recipients of his work. We are partners in it. It is by the words of the good news about Jesus' work for us, not by our imagination, not by our wit, not by our morality, not by our law, not by our ideology, but by his gospel, that God reconstitutes a new race. And the name of that race is the Church. That's the new humanity being built. The Catechism's material on Holy Church, her life by the Spirit, her manifold giftedness to use the word of forgiveness, can reshape some of our distortion. It is in the daily use of that word of forgiveness that Luther instructs us, God daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. Not as some general spirit of divine truth, but as the holy creating spirit working out of the gospel spoken and heard. And that's the spirit of call, gas, and life, and talent. Not in a world of making, not in the world of our imagination, not in a flight into some celestial palace, but in the grubbing, sweating, fighting, sinning everyday life that we live in families, in our work, and in our society. There we are to catechize, teach each other the meaning of being the church. What does this mean? The catechism teaches us to ask the question, what does this mean? And it lays out a reliable, spirit-filled word, anchored roadmap for us. What does this mean? We are to teach each other to ask. And we ask it, not merely by memorizing or repeating, although it ought to be memorized and it ought to be repeated. Not merely by translating the old words into new words, although that needs to be done too. But we know its meaning by hallowing each other in the word given by the Spirit, and by hallowing the faithful life of work. For where the holy people faithfully do their work, there you have the holy work. The whole kit and caboodle is designed to come into the fullness of that triune life when we are raised from the dead. This is how the head of the family should teach it in a simple manner to his household. In the name of the Father,